Years ago, I was able to go as part of a class that I took in my Bible college years. I was able to go to Israel for a three-week period, and the majority of that three-week period was with an archaeological dig. And I found it very interesting. Not only were we on an archaeological dig, but I was on that dig with about 15 PhD Old Testament professors. And it was a very intriguing time to be not only hands-on digging in an archaeological dig site, but then to be there with the wisdom and everything that had been given to these PhD people, these professors of the Old Testament. And I can remember Bowen, really the first piece of pottery that I pulled out of the soil, in just holding it. It wasn't complete, it was broken, but holding it in my hands and realizing at that time that pottery was from about the 1400 BC. And just realizing that pottery had been there, that pottery perhaps saw Joshua when he came into the promised land. You know, and that was really intriguing. And to hear the stories and to be able to dig it up and see it. It was a phenomenal time. One of my assignments was to dig in a portion of the wall. We were endeavoring to find the wall around the city, because the wall was pertinent. We needed to know, the archaeologists wanted to know the layout of the city, and because the city had a wall around it. And we were digging at the second city in the Promised Land. Ai was the city, and he was very intrigued and needed to get where the city wall was. And we would dig different sites and excavate the wall and pieces of the wall you could find. And they would survey that out, lay a whole map out of the whole city and the wall that was around the city. The walls were so important at that time for safety and other things that they needed in that era of time. If out to in those walls, they had gates. And that they would have maybe multiple gates, and we found the city gate, which was intriguing, and you'd find sling stones and different things at the city gate. Just a very intriguing time. If Altoona was a biblical city, it would have a wall around it, and it would have certain gates to be able to access the city. And you can see the dotted line around there. That would be the wall around Altoona. Altoona would be encased with a wall for its own safety and other purposes. And then each place where you'd penetrate the wall, it would be a gate, and it would be you could come and go from that gate. And there would be ways to close the gate and ways to secure it in case the enemy would come. But if you wanted to go certain places in the city, you would probably pick one gate or another. Now, I've named the gates coming into portion of Altoona. The 764 gate, right? You could go into, nothing to do with Watergate, okay? The 764 gate, okay? And then the Plank gate, and then the 36 gate, and the Franks gate, and the 17th Street gate. You probably wouldn't go through the 764 gate if you wanted to go to Lowe's. I mean, you could get there if you wanted to, but it would be wiser to go the 17th Street gate, right? Because that was the gate closer to where you wanted to go into the city. Then you wouldn't have to navigate through the city. Well, 1993 years ago, Jesus entered Jerusalem. And Jerusalem had at least 8 gates around its wall. And we know that the wall was rebuilt by Nehemiah. We could go back in that story in the Old Testament and see how Nehemiah rebuilt the wall, because when an enemy would come in, if they could destroy your farmland and destroy your wall, you were toast. And so we know Nehemiah went back, and we know Nehemiah rebuilt the wall. In Jesus' time, the wall would have been around Jerusalem. And there would have been multiple gates around the Jerusalem. And you could enter those gates from the north to the south, the east and the west, depending on where you were coming, all the way down to the dung or the refuse gate and gate number 7. Probably not too much of the highfalutin people would come through the dung gate. There was more of the refuse from the city leaving that gate. So they had a special gate for that refuse to leave the city. But Jesus, 1993 years ago, Jesus entered Jerusalem. Now, Jesus did not live in Jerusalem. We only have 7 recorded accounts of Jesus being in Jerusalem through his whole ministry. Most of his ministry was around the Sea of Galilee or in Galilee or Judea. It was not in Jerusalem. But Jesus would come to Jerusalem for the feast and the festivals and different things that he wanted to do in Jerusalem. We only have 7 accounts of him being there. And this account was one of those. It was to be his final time coming into Jerusalem. And he's going to come through one of those gates. And I find it interesting of what gate he chooses to come through. And he chooses to come through the Golden Gate, and it's also named as the Mercy Gate. And sometimes now you look it up, it could be the Mercy Gate or the Golden Gate. It's the Mercy Gate. He chose to walk his final time into Jerusalem 1993 years ago today. He chose to walk through the Gate of Mercy into the city of Jerusalem. I find that very interesting that he was ready to give what we did not deserve to have. And he was not going to hold us accountable, so to speak. He was going to do something so we could be freed. He was going to give mercy. So he comes through the Mercy Gate. In Matthew chapter 21, verses 1 and 2, it starts the story. And as they, the disciples and Jesus, approached Jerusalem, they came from Bethphage on the Mount of Olives. And Jesus sent 2 disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, tell him that the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away." This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. "Say to the daughter of Zion, see, your king has come to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, on a foal of a donkey." The disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt, placed their cloaks on them, and Jesus sat on them. The prophet Zechariah was the one that has made this proclamation in the Old Testament that one day Jesus is going to enter. One day he's going to come through. One day your Messiah is going to arrive. One day the Christ is going to arrive. And he's going to come into Jerusalem. And he says this, "Oh, rejoice greatly, O daughters of Zion. Shout, daughters of Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and having salvation in his hand." He coming through the Mercy Gate, through the gate, and he has your king's coming with salvation in his hand, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, on a foal of a donkey. And a very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, and while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed him shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." Then Jesus entered Jerusalem. When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, "Who is this?" The crowds answered, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee." Jesus entered the temple. A lot of other places he could have went. But he chooses to walk through the Mercy Gate. And he chooses to go to the temple. Now he could have went to Herod's place. He could have went to the barracks where they kept all the Roman soldiers. He could have went to even the poor part of the city, which was down near the dung gates where the poor people lived. He didn't go to the poor at that time. He didn't go to Herod. He didn't go to the armies. He went to the temple. Your king comes, holding salvation, gentle, holding salvation in his hand. And he comes in to the temple area. And he comes in and he says, as Jesus entered the temple area, he entered, Jesus surveyed the environment. As this week I was just picturing Jesus entering this environment, and he steps in to this temple environment. And what did he see? And what was he smelling? And what was he feeling? And what was he hearing? And what was the noise that he heard? At one time, I looked up on YouTube, just some city noise, just some noise in a mall, and I turned it up real loud in my earphones, and I just wanted to listen. I was trying to read the scripture and listen to all that noise from somebody had recorded from a mall, and I was trying to make sense of the scripture and listening to all that noise. I wanted to get the feeling of what Jesus was experiencing there. But Jesus comes in and he hears all the noise that's going on. And he sees and he smells and he feels and he feels what's going on. He hears the noise of life. And Jesus was sorrowful and distraught, and he was not okay with what was going on. And when Jesus entered the temple area and drove out all who were buying and selling there, the word "drove out" is to exercise overpowering power. When Jesus went and he started to drive out what didn't belong in the temple, he exercised power that could not be overpowered. No one could stop him at that time. He was exercising power that could not be overpowered. When Jesus sets his mind to something, no one's going to stop him. When God sets his mind to something, no one is going to stop him. When Jesus came into that temple and he heard that noise, and he knew what the temple was about, and he knew that the people had turned it into some kind of upside down mall, and he was not okay with that. And he exercised overwhelming power, power that could not be denied, power that could not be stopped. All hell couldn't stop this power. And believe you me, there was spiritual warfare going on. The enemy would have loved to stop that. He would have loved to stop Jesus even entering the temple. Can you imagine the spiritual warfare that was going on at that moment? Not only the physical stuff that was going on, but the spiritual warfare when Jesus entered the temple and he was surveying what was going on, and he wasn't okay with that, and he was going to do something about it. He had made his mind up that I'm going to demonstrate overwhelming power, power that can't be stopped. Not in hell and not on earth. It cannot be stopped because this is not okay with me. This was an actual historical event. Jesus did this. This is not a story made up by some disciples. This is not something the church made up just to have a special Sunday. This was an actual historical event when Jesus came in to Jerusalem through the mercy gate right to the temple, and he surveyed what was going on, and he was not okay, and then he stepped up to do something about it, and no one was going to stop him. That actually happened. Jesus did this, but I think he is doing this today. I think Jesus is still entering the temple today. I think he's still entering the temple today. I think he's still coming through the mercy gate. What's it say in 1 Corinthians? It says this. Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? Don't you know that you have become the temple? Do you think that Jesus is just going to leave you alone? You are the temple. And he's coming through the mercy gate, and he's coming right into my life and right into your life and right into my soul and right into my heart. And he's going to come in because he owns the temple. You're not your own. It's the temple of God. And Jesus, I have the right to come into this temple. And I'm going to come into this temple. And Jesus entered the temple area. Jesus entered. You can push the button. Jesus entered Ed's heart, soul, and life. I just don't want to be a history teacher.
I like history, and I like the archaeological dig, and I like to study the Old Testament. But I'm a life teacher. I want to grab onto something that God has planned for me today. So we're not just going to talk about what happened 1993 years ago. We're going to talk about what he's doing right now, right here. And you are the temple of the Most High God. Amen. And Jesus is going to come into your life right through the mercy gate, because salvation is in his hand. Because he is gentle and he is powerful. Jesus entered the temple area. He entered Ed's, Tobin's, Sheila's, Cheryl's, Mike, Bethany's. He entered Aaron's and Julie's heart and soul and life. He's entering Jude and Logan. He's entering Isaiah. He's entering your life. And he's coming up to some tables. Rejoice! It says again, it says, rejoice, oh son of Zion. Rejoice, oh new life first. Rejoice, oh Jerusalem. Rejoice, East Freedom. Rejoice, because your king is at the door. Because your king comes to you. He comes to you. You're not trying to get to him. He's standing at your door. He's standing in your life. He's standing right outside of your life. You're not trying to find him. He's already found you. And he's standing right in your life. Rejoice, he says. He comes. Your king comes to you, righteous and having salvation, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, and on a foal of a donkey. He's coming. He's standing in your heart and in your soul and in your life at this very moment. What is Jesus seeing this morning? What is he smelling this morning? What is he feeling this morning? What is he hearing in your heart and in your soul and in your life? What's happening in your life right now? Jesus is looking. He's surveying your life. He's surveying your temple. He's surveying what's going on in your life at this very moment. What has he walked up to, and he's not okay with it? Can you just ponder that for a minute? What's he smell? Is he smelling fear? Is he smelling fear? What table is he at right now in your life? Maybe just close your eyes, and what is he smelling? Is he hearing chaos? Is he feeling pain? Is he seeing your brokenness? Is he seeing insecurities and heartache and sin? Is he seeing disobedience and rebellion and addiction and hate and rejection and doubt and attitude? What's he seeing? What's he seeing this morning? What needs to be driven out of your life? Your king comes with salvation in his hand. What needs to be driven out of my life? What needs to be driven out of your life? Does the fear need to be driven out of your life? Does the brokenness need to be driven? Does rejection that you've experienced, does addiction need to be driven out of your life? Does rebellion need to be driven out of your life? Does your attitude need to be driven out of your life? Does your doubt and your sin and your heartache and the chaos in your life, what is he standing at? Where is the table that he's standing at? What needs to be driven out of your life? Just stand there for a moment and let Jesus show you the table that needs to be overturned in your life. What has been dragged into the temple that is not meant to be there? What is on the table that has no right to be in your life? There are things in our life that have no right to be in your life. That they've been dragged into your life. Jesus is highlighting that, I believe, right now in our lives. He's highlighting those things right now in our life, and he's not okay with them. He doesn't want to drive you away. He wants to drive them away. What do you need? You need the overpowering power of Jesus to show up in your life. Where? What? What needs, where is that table that you tried and tried and tried and tried to get it out of my life, and I can't get it out of my life? You need the overpowering power of Jesus to show up in your life, and you need him to turn that table over, and you need to upset that stuff in your life so that you can live free, so the temple can be what Jesus has designed it to be. Amen. We got so much junk in us. And we're trying to live life, and we got headphones on of the noisiest, busiest street, people screaming and things going on in our life, and we can't hear anything. And Jesus, I tell you what, I want to step up to that table, and I want to turn it over, and I want to clean up the chaos out of your life, because this temple wasn't made for chaos. This temple wasn't made for fear. This temple wasn't made for rebellion. Jesus is saying, I want to clear your table. Will you let him this morning? I want to clear your table. And so we can study things and we can have a historical lesson about what Jesus coming to Jerusalem, and we could draw more maps and it would be really cool. But I'm more interested in what the temple is happening today. And Jesus is at your table and he wants to clear your table. He's not mad at you. He loves you. Zechariah says he doesn't come to kick you out of the temple. You are the temple. He's come to clean the temple and to help you live victoriously. But you've drug stuff into that temple. It's just become your everyday normal building rather than the temple of the Most High God. Jesus is saying, I want to clear your temple. Verse 13, it is written, Jesus said, my house will be called a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of robbers. These things that you see, these things that are in my life, these insecurities, they're robbing from you. This rebellion is robbing from you. This fear is robbing from you. This chaos is robbing from you. The life that I want to give you is being robbed from you. And I want to get it out of your life so it doesn't continue to suck the life out of you. These things are like big ticks, fleas. Parasites that get in and just suck the life out of you. Jesus said, I'm going to come into your life and let me turn this table over, because it's robbing you. It's robbing you from prayer. It's robbing you, what he's saying there is it's robbing you from this relationship with the Father. Robbing you from a restored and deepened relationship with the Father. And I'm not okay. I came that you may have a relationship with the Father restored and deepened and deepened and deepened and deepened. And you got so much junk in the temple. Don't worry, I got enough power to get rid of it. And it's keeping you from deepening your relationship with the Father. They come so you can have a relationship with the Father. Wow. Jesus arrives through the mercy gate into your life this morning, and he wants to deepen your walk. Jeremiah says this. It says, this is what the Lord says. He who made the earth and the Lord who formed it and established it, the Lord is his name. Call to me and I will answer you, tell you great and unsearchable things you do not know. Jesus is saying this morning, I want to restore and deepen your intimacy with the Father. You can push the button. I want to restore and deepen your intimacy with the Father. Rejoice! Greatly, O daughters of Zion, shout, new life. Your king comes to you, righteous and having salvation in his hand. He is gentle on you, but hard on the junk. He's riding a donkey. and a colt and a foal of a donkey. He wants to turn over the tables of garbage that's robbing from you, robbing your relationship with the Father, and then he wants to deepen your relationship with the Father. Rejoice greatly, O daughters of Zion. Shout, daughters of Jerusalem. See, your King is coming. Your King is coming into your life, the righteous and having salvation. Verse 14 says this, the blind and the lame came to Jesus at the temple, and he healed them. I forwarded this to the prayer warrior this week, and this is one of the things I got back. Just powerful. When Jesus speaks the truth about what those that were trading had done, he attracts a different group of people, those who are looking for God's presence. Wow. You see what's happening there? Once the temple got cleaned, and once it began to have its relationship with the Father restored, all of a sudden there was an audience that wanted the very presence of God. And the junk in the temple was holding at bay those that were seeking the very presence of God. And that's why the temple is supposed to experience the very presence of God. Jesus says, I want to turn those junk over, those tables over. I want to restore your and deepen your relationship with the Father. I want you, there is something in you at this moment that may be drawn to the very presence of God. What is it this morning as Jesus shows up in my life and shows up in your life and all of a sudden he starts to deal with those things and the overpowering that junk in my life and deepening the relationship with the Father. All of a sudden, I got a renewed hunger for the very presence of God. And that renewed presence was always there, but it was so buried in what was robbing us and robbing you of that experience with God. And now all of a sudden, no longer is it in the way. And I'm hungry for the presence of God. I think Julia got it right. And I feel that in my own life at times. I feel that I'm hungry for the very presence of God. And then all of a sudden, busyness and junk and attitude get in my way. And all of a sudden, I'm not hungry for the very presence of God anymore. And I go back to Jesus and I said, you need to turn over this table of attitude because right now mine's stinking. And when you deepen my relationship with the Father, and all of a sudden, I begin to feel this deepening. And all of a sudden, I begin to feel this want for the very presence of God. See, when you're all junked up, when you're all dirty, when your kids are all been playing out in the mud, hey, go outside, run around, don't get dirty. And your boys come back in and they're filthy from one end to another. You know what? They don't usually run right up to mom. They try to sneak around to go to the sink. And that's what you do and I do when we're all junked up. But God's not going to leave us there. He's going to send Jesus. And Jesus is going to come, your King, with salvation in his hand. And he's going to touch you. Rejoice, O daughter of Zion. Shout! If nothing else, you're going to say, I don't know what a bit of thing he said, but I remember that verse. Rejoice, O greatly, men and women of God. Rejoice, shout, O new lifers. See, your King comes to you. Righteous and having salvation. He's gentle. Do not fear. Do not fear his very presence. Do not fear the presence of God. He wants to bring you into his very presence and he wants to heal you this morning. He wants to heal you physically and mentally and spiritually. Just like he did the people in the temple 1993 years ago. He wants to bring you close to Him, and He wants to speak a healing into your life. He wants to speak over you. He wants to take away the grief that's sucking the life out of you, and the abuse from the past, and scars from the past, and damage caused by others, and damage caused by yourself, and damage caused just by life. He wants to speak His name over you. He wants to draw you into His very presence. Get rid of the junk and deepen your relationship with the Father and draw you into His very presence and speak a healing into your life this morning. Jesus arrives through the mercy gate, and He is wrapped in love, and He is love, and He is grace, and He is mercy and healing, all wrapped in perfect unity. And He's standing at the mercy gate, and He's coming through the mercy gate, and He's coming into your temple this morning, and He wants to heal you this morning. Jesus is saying, I want to heal you. And verse 15 says this, but when the chief priests and the teachers and of the law saw the wonderful things He did, and the children were shouting in the temple area, Hosanna to the Son of David, they were indignant. You got to be kidding me. Since when is all the wondrous things going on and the kids laughing and cheering caused someone to be indignant, but it caused the chief priests and the teachers of the law to be indignant? And verse 16 says, do you hear what these children are saying? They asked Jesus. Yes, replied Jesus. Have you never read from the lips of children and infants you have ordained praise? Do you need your praise restored this morning? Are you with me this morning? Are you with me? He wants to come in with some overwhelming power, and He wants to come up to your mercy gate and the stuff that you've been dealing with for years and years and years, perhaps, or a week. And He wants to come up to your table, and He wants to turn it upside down. And He wants to restore this intimacy with the Father. And He wants you to be pulled into the very presence of the Father, where He can speak healing into your life. And then He wants you to come out of that lit up, where you can't help but be in praise, losing it, basically, because of God and His love and His grace and His mercy, because God decided to show up in your life, because God was more powerful than the stuff that you've been dealing with, because God can take you closer to Him, because God can speak a healing into your life, and all of a sudden, I can't contain it anymore. One of my favorite Coyote and Roadrunner cartoons, which I've been able to introduce my children to, or my grandchildren to, is when he's trying to get the Roadrunner to eat earthquake pills. And he throws them out there, and the Roadrunner pecks them all up, and nothing happens. So he's like, what's going on? He drinks the rest of the bottle, and then when he brings the bottle down, not effective on Roadrunners. And all of a sudden, the coyote begins to shake. That's what God's going to do. God's putting a shake in you that can't be contained. And the religious leaders say, will you shut those children down? And Jesus said, no! They have ingested something that just won't be shut down. He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and put their trust in God. Why? Because my praise has been restored. Because God's put a new song in my heart. And it can be old lyrics and a new song. Believe you me, I sang some of those old songs back in the day when I had a drug habit. I was drunk to church on Sunday and drunk to church on Wednesdays. And I heard some of those old hymns. I'll tell you what, I can't hardly make it through one of those old hymns now. There's power in the blood, wonder-working power, because it's a new song with an old lyrics. perhaps, but there's a new song in me. He said, I want to put a new song in you. Jesus is saying this morning, I want to put a praise, a song of praise in you this morning. Are you with me this morning? The triumphal entry happened 1993 years, and it's happening right now. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, daughters, new life of East Freedom. See, your king has come to you, righteous and having salvation. And oh, he's gentle. Through the mercy gate, right to the tables of those things that are robbing us, flipping them over with an overpowering power, moving you down the line and restoring your intimacy with the Father and drawing you close to the very presence of God. And in that very presence, you're hearing a voice, a touch, speaking healing into your life. And you're coming out of there swallowing a whole can of earthquake pills. Because God's done something and you just can't be shut up. How about a new life? This is the triumphal entry. This is the triumphal entry today. Can you stand with me today? Father, I ask Jesus, I don't ask, you're here. You've come through the mercy gate this morning. Of all the other gates you could have chose, you could have come through Herod's gate. You could have come through the government gate. You come through the refuse gate. But you aren't here this morning to clean up all my problems. You're to clean me up. You're not here to take care of the government. You're here to take care of me. You're not here to just meet visitors that come through the Jaffa Gate. You're here to meet us, your children. So, Father, here we are. Jesus, here we are. Come up to any table you want in my life. Any table you want, and clear it as much as you want. Restore my intimacy with the Father. Draw me to the very presence of God. Speak healing into my life and into our lives. Fill us so full of praise that we can't help but let it out. Father, again, here we go. We're this time, this meeting of this first Sunday in April of the church on a Sunday morning has coming within the next 2 minutes will be concluded. But now the church gets to go out and live this and live with you and be the hands and the feet of Jesus. It's a great week to be the hands and the feet of Jesus. This is a great week because many people will be talking, many people will be wondering about Jesus this week. Lord, open doors. Use us to bring honor and glory to you in this week. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a great day.